Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
The importance of you. I want you to think about that. We spend time in the house of God trying to teach you how important God is to us. How meaningful and how everything He is, how satisfying and how He fills us, our lives to the brim, having God, how important He is to us. And seldom do we really spend the same type of time, a kind of time or hours in trying to convey to you how important you are to Him. We obviously have a very true concept of whom God is. He is the God of the universe. He is the God of everlasting. Somebody say amen. He is the Rock of Ages. He always has been and will be. He doesn't need us to be God. He was already God without us. But as I contemplate that thought, ladies and gentlemen, this past few weeks, as the Lord was speaking to me, it must have been one of those times where I just begin to question the Lord, and at my age and the things that I've accomplished in life and the things that I've done, sometimes some of us, especially men, I think, sometimes we sit down and say, you know, what have I done? And I begin to contemplate and speak unto the Lord. I said, Lord, have I been any good to you? Have I served you at any capacity that you might be proud of? And I had the most awesome time listening to worship in my room at home, because the Lord began to pour upon my heart how important I was to Him. Again, quickly we run to, oh Lord, you could never use me. What would you need me for? Such a great and holy and mighty, all-capable, omnipotent God. Use or care about a grain of sand like me. But as I prayed and I spoke to Him in worship in my room, that time that all of us take, I pray we do, we allow God to speak to us, and I found out more than ever this past few weeks on how important I am to God. And this message is going to take time to share with you, because I believe some of us are so used to knowing how important He is to us that we don't realize that God really is a God that depends on us as well. And I'll prove it to you in Scripture this morning as best as I can in the next few minutes, at least get us started. But knowing that God is already God without us, why would He even consider including us in anything He does? But yet, it pleased the Lord to bring us in to His kingdom plan. You are important to God. And I want to speak to you about the importance of you in His kingdom plan. Put your hand over your heart this morning as we begin. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for this morning. Father, a time of worship, Lord, a time of prayer for our young people and our administrators. Father, I thank you, Lord, for everything you've done to this point, Lord, and the things that you will do. And now I pray as I submit this message, I don't know how I'm going to explain it, but Lord, but just like you did to me, would you show them and show us all, Father God, how inclusive you are of us in your plan. How important really we are to your plan. Deep in our minds, we know, Lord, that you could do anything and everything without us, but yet, God, help us to understand how you are so willing to share in your accomplishments, Lord, in your kingdom plan. We will speak of responsibilities, Father, because that all has to do with how important we are. And so, Father, help us to understand that. And as we leave this place this morning, not with a arrogance, Father, of pride, thinking God needs me, but knowing tenderly in our hearts that you do, as a father, think of your children as important. And so we thank you. Speak to us and to our hearts in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Matthew 5 and 14 is our passage of choice this morning for the next few minutes. And again, I'll tell you, I'll go as far as I can. It reads as follows: You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. This is a very relational, very partnering passage in Scripture concerning you and I. We can read this again, and we see the great commission and the great reward, the great honor it is, and as God speaks of us. I see in Scripture really no greater compliment. As reading this passage, when God says something concerning us, and he has said many things of many people in Scripture that we've read about, but this strikes me so importantly and so deeply, simply because we'll find out in as we continue that he first says that he is the light of the earth. But in this passage, we see that now we are. And he speaks of the joy of knowing that we possess that light. He says, you cannot take a child, a believer, a son of mine, and put him under some kind of covering. But with great joy, you take that light and you put it as high as you can in the room so it can light up the world. Put it on a stand. Give it a platform. Let it do its work. I want it to shine. It's important to me that this light do what I created it to do. It's speaking about you. It's talking about me. About the Lord's willingness when he saved you, not only to save you, just to put you on a shelf and say, well, just look at all the little trophies I have. They don't serve me for anything, but they sure look good. No, he saved us with great purpose. He saved us with great reason, an inclusive measure deep in his heart. The reason he saved us was to bring us in to participate with him. And to challenge the thought of us knowing that he is a God who can do everything without us. We know that. But isn't it special to know that a God that can do anything and everything decides to include us with him? The importance of you. And so comes the charge then, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds. And this is where it involves both parties. People will see and notice your position as a light giver and provider, your good deeds, the productivity of your life in this world. And ultimately, he always gets all the glory, that they may praise your Father in heaven. We are the light of the world. A man was killed at a railroad crossing one summer evening in the late 1800s. And his relative sued the railroad, claiming negligence on part of the watchman. Back then, not like today, they have all these turn signal lights and sophisticated networks that work the train system. The infrastructure is so advanced. But back then, it used to be a watchman. And at any crossing where trains would cross or stop or move, they had a watchman that the railroad company would bring in, and they, in their hand, they had a lantern. And when they saw the train coming, night or day, they would swing that lantern, signaling like a Morse code type of setting. They would signal that lamp to identify with that train and to signal that, and what to expect or what to do as they arrived at that crossing. And so this family sued the railroad company, claiming negligence on part of the watchman. They blamed the watchman for this terrible wreck and the death of their loved one. Now, during this ensuing trial, the watchman himself was taken to the chair of examination. And so they brought that employee and they sat him down on the chair and put him down as a witness. And the prosecuting attorney approached him and asked him several questions, some being, were you on duty at the crossing at that time of the accident? And the watchman said, yes, sir, I was. You were there. Yes, sir. Did you have a lantern in your hand as you were positioned at your post at the crossing? Yes, sir. I did. When you heard and saw the trains coming, did you wave your lantern to signal the train's approach and give instruction? Yes, sir, I did. I did. Did you wave it several times to give great warning? Yes, sir, I did. Having answered every question affirmatively, the watchman ended up helping the railroad company not get sued and lose that particular lawsuit. And so they canceled everything and the railroad company walked away free. And after the trial, one of the officers from that railroad company came to the watchman and said to thank him. And he said, Mr. Jarvis, we want to thank you for your witness and your testimony. You helped our company out. He goes, yes, sir, my pleasure. But now tell me, I'm curious to something. Mr. Jarvis, were you nervous during the questioning of the trial? It was tense. And Mr. Jarvis says, well, I actually feared very much. He said, what would be your fears? You seem to answer so confidently. He said, I was afraid he would ask me if the lantern was on. The moral of this illustration is very clear. It teaches us that anyone can go through the motions of outward religiosity and not showing the true essentials of their religion. We can wave our lanterns wildly, be at our post timely, yet we accomplish absolutely nothing if we are not functional and our lanterns are unlit. Now, as I consider this watchman, I'm sure he was dressed like a railroad employee. So he looked the same. He moved amongst all the rest of the fellow peers and employees of the company without notice. He moved amongst everyone. It was a normal to see him, I'm sure. I'm sure he went into the office a time or two and even sat to talk with administrators or whatever, but he was normal. At the site, he was hired to do the job, and he confirmed somehow that he was obviously qualified to do that job. But when he needed to fulfill his responsibility and true proof of his ability to be effective at his job, he failed. He failed to make the most important thing the most important thing. He was there on time. He knew when to show up. But when it came to make the key thing, he failed. And a life was lost. His guiding light, which was priority for him at that work, was off. At that moment, he forgot how important he really was. How important that light made him to that position of his employment. The Bible says in the book of 1 John chapter 1, the disciples give witness of Christ saying, God is the light of the world, and in him there is no darkness. They testified of Christ being the light of the world, and in him there was no darkness. They could see nothing that was dark about him. Everything was clear as day. Signifying and teaching us, obviously, a holy God before them. In John chapter 8, verse 12, and also in other parts of the Gospels, we find Jesus himself giving testimony of who he was. He said, I am the light of the world. I am. And we know that when he traveled upon the face of this earth, the focus was on him. Everyone looked to the light. When he moved about the city streets, they knew who he was, for they saw his light. Eyes were focused on him. When people looked towards heaven or wanted to speak concerning heaven or the kingdom or any kind of revelation of the Father, they would look to Christ, for he was the light of the world. But then upon his leaving, things changed. There was a spiritual delegation, a transfer or passing of the torch. All of a sudden, you were promoted. We were promoted. God gave us importance to promote us and bring us even closer to the boss man. What a privilege. Isn't it awesome? Aren't you excited sometimes when you're working faithfully at some job and all of a sudden the senior official there calls you and says, listen, I've been watching you work. Listen, I have an office here next to mine. I want you to work next to me. You're going to be my right hand. Oh, I'm telling you, nobody remains the same when they get that kind of promotion. They walk out going like, wow, I'm senior manager now. How did you get that? The boss called me. He promoted me to that. So in essence, that's exactly what happened to the disciples. Jesus had been continuously telling them of his departure. He spoke to them endlessly. And they begin to understand now that they brought them in. And why he also took time always to speak to them and to show them physically who he was. And he did things in front of their eyes that they might learn and learn to emulate. It was all a training session. It was all on the job training. He told them time again, I'm going to be leaving. I'm going to go the way of the cross and I won't be here anymore. As a sense of warning, if you will, learn what you can. Learn to do what you're supposed to do. Watch me. I am an example to you. And finally, the moment comes, and the Lord passes that torch to his successors. They would now step forward and continue the Father's plan in bringing back the hearts of men to himself. Matthew 5 and 14, you are the light of the world. with a compliment. What a compliment. To be acknowledged by the Lord that we now are the light. That we too are called and considered of the Lord to be lights to this world. I can think of no greater call than us being called to identify and represent the Lord Himself. That's a tall order, ladies and gentlemen. And that's not easily passed to just anybody. It's not easy for the CEO, and we have company owners here amongst our congregation, to simply get anyone amongst their staff and say, I want you to come in and represent my firm. The CEO first has to know that the person is qualified and he represents everything that company is in efforts is trying to accomplish, that he is capable, knowledgeable, caring, willing enough to represent that company. You don't get promotions like that. And if it's difficult here on earth, can you imagine the honor of being told by God, I'm promoting you today to take a place just like mine, to represent my kingdom, just as I represented my kingdom when I was in front of all of you. I was remembering, as I was writing this past week, several years ago, we're running out of time, several years ago, we had some people here in the church, and they're not with us anymore, good, very good people. And one brother in particular whom his doctrine and his position with Christ was quite different than what we believe according to Scripture. But he was such a swell guy, a really awesome guy. Yeah, but we sit down in the office and we'd have biblical discourses. And Pastor, he'd say these things, and I'm going like, yeah, but... And I try to tell him and stuff, and his heart was so sincere and so willing, and but yet it was so far left here that I really couldn't help him. And one day he just felt such a strong call of the Lord. He said, Lord, Pastor, I'm going to go out and minister. And I'm going like, wow, okay. All right. He goes, is it okay if wherever I go, I tell him you sent me in Rock of Ages? I said, no. I wanted to scream, no, brother. Why would you want to lower yourself like that? No, not me. And it was kind of funny because, you know, I guess he kind of understood. And it was just a comical thing. But yet it was a serious thing because you can't have just anybody represent what you truly have convictions about. Amen? Am I right in that? Would any company owner here tell me that you would pick just anyone to go and speak for your company? He will have within him the power to destroy your company, to make it flourish or to make it bankrupt. And if you're any kind of good boss, you're going to go through him and talk to him, instruct him and converse with him and make sure that he is capable and able to represent your firm in a positive way. This is why I got a little bit nervous, because I didn't want anybody to think that that's what we were preaching here at this pulpit. But yet Jesus promoted us. How important are you? Jesus took trust in us, gave us the responsibility in representing who He is and all He is to this world around us. Tell your neighbor again, you're important to God. Tell him like you mean it. You're important to God. But I want us to understand this morning, and just give me two or three more minutes and I'll finish. But I do want you to take these things, because this is where we're going. It's going to be a great conversation. It's going to be a great conversation. You won't want to miss this. But along with the great compliment and great privilege of being called the light of the world, as Christ was when he walked and continues to be, but you understand him walking upon earth and being the light, there also is a great responsibility. This is where the challenge begins for every believer in this house, including myself. In Matthew 5 and 14, we are called the light. So I've taken from the very element of light and see the benefits of both having light and no light will do to our lives, for the kingdom, and to this world. We will look at light in the coming weeks, and we will learn of how Him, the light, affected the world that He lived in, and how important you are as a representative of His kingdom in affecting the world that you live in today. There is a certain partnership, if I can mention that. There's a certain partnership that God has established with us in such an awesome way. You know, I was reading this morning, and I'll read this as we close. Concerning how important a son can be to a parent or a father. And it reads as this: a son is important to a father as a sort of companionship, a reflection of his values, a continuation of his legacy. A father-son relationship is a unique bond where a father can guide his son and teach him about the world, and help develop him into a strong and confident individual. The relationship involves, as a son grows from childhood to play, to share work projects with his father. And eventually, perhaps even a partnership in later life. You know, some of the proudest men that I have ever met in business have been men who pride in their hearts because their sons are carrying his legacy. They're well at age now and getting ready to retire and say, "We ain't gonna retire already." Yeah. And so, what are you gonna do? He said, "Oh, my boy, he's gonna take it. He knows exactly how I run things and how he's been taught well. He knows what he's going to be doing." And there's a certain pride, if I can use that term, and a joy knowing that you have raised a son well and he represents you well. In essence, that's what God has done with us. There is a certain partnership. And he's expecting us, as the scripture says, as the day goes by, every single one of us begin to display more the light of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. The Lord has always considered you important, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to walk out of here this morning. I've done the best that I can to convey to you that you're not simply here to sing a song with us. You're not simply here to come to church and fulfill some religious responsibility. But you are here because God has considered you important to share. To share his kingdom plan with you. If every single one of us would understand how important we are to the Father, we would participate with him in everything he wants to do. I spent 10, 15 minutes this morning breaking my jaw in pain to remind you of that truth this morning as we gave. If all of us could really understand how important we are to God and his kingdom plan, we would never have to ask for any supplies from this church, because every one of us would know how responsible and how important we are to him. Every day the Bible says we are to be transformed. Every day we are supposed to be transformed and changed into the likeness of the Father. Why? It's important to him that we engage in that kind of growth, because we are important to his plan. Don't come to church thinking, "Well, let me see what the pastor is going to preach and we'll go home because we fulfilled our church responsibility." But have you ever come to the church saying, "I wonder what my father wants or needs of me today, because I know I'm important to him. It's important to him how I conduct my life and what I do. What I do is either going to compliment him or destroy his testimony." We've lost sight so much. We've lost sight so much by simply thinking, well, you know, God, really, we're here as excess. We're overflow. You know, we're here. He blesses us. We go and we keep going. No. You are here with great purpose, ladies and gentlemen. Every church in the valley and around the world that bears the name of Christ has been instituted by God with great importance. I pray that every believer in this Rio Grande Valley and the world would truly understand how important they are to God and His kingdom plan. We would not be in the condition we are socially, economically, emotionally in this world if there were more of us who would truly understand how important we are. You're not that little leftover item that God decided, well, we just add him, save him. He's cool. That's all right. Just leave him there. What are you going to use him for? Nothing, but he looks good right there. No, we don't buy things. I mean, he doesn't buy things simply because they're shiny. You know how we are. Oh, that looks nice. What are you going to do with it? I don't know. We'll put it somewhere. And you spend your money. God's not like that. He's not frivolous like that. He picks. Remember, the scripture says that He chose us. Yeah, I'll use this. This is important to me. That's God looking at your life. How He loves you. How willing He is to include you. I want you to meditate on these things, and we're going to talk more about this. It's late for some of you already. Let's pray. Would you stand with me? I want you to think about this week and for the next several weeks, the importance of you. 2 Corinthians 4 and 6 says, let your light shine out of darkness. He made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge and the glory of God in the face of Christ. God wants you to shine. It's important for Him that you shine in this world. It affects the kingdom plan that He has. He's trusting His Son from His house. Son, let's put this project together. I need you. Get up. Help me. Take your place as my son. He speaks to us both sons and daughters. You are important to this church. I stress that to you this morning in our giving. You are important to us. Don't think you're not nothing. You're important to the world. They need us. You're important to those who will spend their life either in eternal darkness or in eternal glory. You're that important. You're important to satisfy the heart of God who desires to love us. God has picked us to deposit the greatness of His love for us. God has saved you. You know why? Because He wanted somebody to love. Isn't that awesome? Well, why did God pick me? Well, because He wanted to love you. How important is that? We are all valuable to God in such a way we truly don't understand. And I want to impress this upon you if it takes me the rest of the year of how important you are to God and teach you the importance of you.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.